So, are you ready for our Wrongful Wednesday?
That we've already recorded how many times and we have issues every single time. Yeah, I'm ready.
Only recorded this one.
Feel like we've recorded everything at least 50 billion times.
Well, that's because you suck. I'm just kidding. All right, so are you ready?
I'm ready. And break.
And let's roll. So this wrongful that was convicted, his name was Ron Williamson, who served 11 wrongful years.
You know what I was just thinking of? Now all of our listeners are blessed this time because they don't have to hear our intro of the okay like we did yesterday, and then all the as much as it was. Okay, keep
No,
going.
now they're like wondering what the heck are they talking about.
You will learn.
They still get it. They just confused right now, apparently. So, Ron Williamson grew up in Ada, Oklahoma, which for abbreviation of Oklahoma is
And that's what Google
okay.
says when you ask how to pronounce something. It says, okay.
Anyways,
Okay.
they're not blessed. They're even more confused and like they're stupid. So, Ron was the youngest of three children and his parents' only son. So, he had sisters and he was the only boy, in case you don't know what that meant. I just felt like I needed to throw that out there. He was a talented baseball player. He was the 41st pick in baseball in 1971 amateur draft. But a shoulder injury ruined his career. Ron returned back to home in the late 1970s, and in 1988, Ron, along with Dennis Fritz, was convicted of the murder of Deborah Sue Carter. Deborah's body was found 6 years earlier. Ron was sentenced to death row and was Ron was sentenced to death row and spent 11 years in prison before being proven innocent. In December 1982, 20-year-old Deborah Sue was found sexually assaulted and murdered in her apartment in Ponca County. I had to do what Google says. Dennis and Ron were known to frequently go to the restaurant where the victim worked, and allegedly, the victim had complained to a friend that they made her nervous. Rob also had been seen at the restaurant the night of the murder, and according to a man named Glenn Gore. Fun fact, there's a city in Oklahoma named Gore.
Okay.
I'm just a score. Oh, just remember that.
Okay.
During the investigation and trial, Ron and Dennis were not charged until 5 years after the murder. The charges were delayed by the state exhumation of the victim after an incorrect analysis of fingerprints at the scene was noted. An inmate that Dennis was paired with eventually came forward and stated that he had confessed to the murder. This confession came out one day before the prosecution would have been forced to drop the charges against Dennis. Another informant testified that she had heard Ron threaten to harm the informant's mother as he had the victim. Additionally, the police said that Ron told them that he had dreamed about committing the crime. He had allegedly told police that he had dreamed that he stabbed and strangled the victim. This statement was treated as a confession. Forensic testing performed on various items of evidence. 17 hairs were recovered and were supposedly matched to both Dennis and Ron. Though we know that this type of hair analysis is not valid for forensic scientist practice. The semen evidence found in the crime scene was subject to blood testing, and the results suggested that the perps were not guilty, and both Dennis and Ron are innocent. Ron was sentenced to death row, and Dennis was sentenced to life in prison. The post-conviction investigation, after their convictions, Ron and Dennis filed separate appeals. Upon the denial of his claim, Dennis contacted the Innocent Project and learned that Ron's lawyers were planning to test the physical evidence. The Innocent Project filed to an injunction to make sure that the cases were joined with regards to DNA testing and were granted testing in 1998. The test results proved conclusively that neither Dennis or Ron was the source of the semen found, and none matched the hair that belonged to them. Further testing of the evidence matched to Glenn Gore. Remember the state's main witness at the trial?
Yeah.
Ron and Dennis were released in innocence on April 1999 after spending 11 years in prison for a crime they did not commit. Ron had at one point came within 5 days of execution.
Butt puckering right there. Butt puckering.
He was 5 days away from getting killed. The life after they were released was soon after their release, Ron and Dennis visited New York, where they took a tour of the Yankee Stadium. Ron said, quote, "Just got a taste of how much fun they were having up there," quote. Dennis and Ron filed a civil lawsuit against the Pontiac County District Attorney and others, which was settled for an undisclosed amount of money. But on December 4, 2004, Ron died in Oklahoma nursing home after he was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver at 51 years old. Ron and Dennis's case is subject for the John Grisham's first non-fictional book, The Innocent Man: Murder and Injustice in a Small Town, which was published in 2006 and was a bestseller. So, Glenn, I mean, not Glenn, Gore, okay, was guilty. He did it. He testified against them and he got 11 years free before he was sentenced.
What is up with all of our key witnesses being a part of the murder or the murderer?
I don't know, but I guess they're just like, it wasn't me. I'm a witness. I didn't do it. I'm gonna make sure they are on my good side. I told them what they wanted to hear. I knew what happened, so I knew what to tell them.
I guess so. I have this week a mini crime that I'm going to tell you.
A mini, 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 mini crime? Murder?
Yes. It's kind of disturbing. I've never heard of it. It's probably a famous case that I just never heard of. But
But it was in your birthday present, not your birthday present, your Christmas present that I got you.
It was in my Christmas present. So this is the soap maker. Okay. After losing 13 kids, 13 kids, Tamara, that's a lot of
How?
kids.
How?
Well,
What
she
do you
lost
mean?
three.
What do you mean lose?
Oh, I'm about to go into details. She lost three to miscarriages, and then 10 died from just childhood illnesses. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's called unluck right there. Holy cow.
So, Leonardo, I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's like Leonardo, but with the A, Leonardo. Vowed to protect her four surviving offsprings at any cost. When she found out her oldest son joined the Italian army at the onset of World War II, she had a mental breakdown like one would and was convinced the only way to ensure his safety was to go through with human sacrifices, you know, because that sounds legit, right? So between 1939 and 1940, she used her reputation as a fortune teller to Laurel, to,
Lord.
yes, to invite in three unsuspecting women into her shop. She gained their trust and murdered them. But what's really disturbing, Tamara, is how she
What do you mean? That's not already disturbing?
no. What's disturbing is how she disposed of these women.
She
Would
put
you?
them in soap.
Yeah.
I just ruined the story.
And other things. So you got it right. She turned them into soap, cakes, and cookies.
It is like the song, the baker, the maker, the candlestick. But instead, it was the baker, the maker, and the soap. Wait, the baker. The creator and the soap maker. I don't know.
I'll have to Google the song.
I tried, but I couldn't figure it out. It didn't sound right.
So she eventually confesses to the murder when I guess they thought her son did it. So she's like, no, my son didn't do it. I did it. Okay. So, you know, she's just like, nope, not him, not him. It's me. It's me. So during her trial in 1946, this chick corrects prosecutors in the details of the crime while she's on stage. She's like, no, I didn't do that. I did this. I didn't do that. I did this. And she was found guilty for 30, and she was found guilty and sentenced to 30 years in prison and 3 more years in a mental hospital. And I have a quote that's like the next day from her. Would you like to hear this quote?
Go for it.
Okay, she said, it says, in their own words, she ended up in the spot, or sorry, she ended up in the pot like the other two. Her flesh was fat and white, and it melted, and I added a bottle of cologne. After a long time on the bull, I was able to make it some of the most acceptable creamy soap. I gave the bars to my neighbors and acquaintances.
Acquaintances.
The cakes, too, were better. The women were really sweet.
I'm never eating cake again.
Ugh. Ugh. Say something funny.
I'm about to go get some cake. Just kidding. I don't think I ever want cake anymore. So, yeah. There you go.
Until next time, I guess.
Stay safe and make sure you check what you eat in your cake. Check
Don't
the
eat cake or don't wash your body with soap.
ingredients. Stay dirty and don't get fat. Bye.